This episode is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Experienced wealth managers who go above and beyond to guide and support you. CanDo is more than just an attitude. It's navigating today for a brighter tomorrow. Visit candowealth.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Simmons and this is Coffee House Scots. Today I'm joined by Katie Balls and Stephen Daisley. Now, this afternoon was meant to be Humza Yousaf's reset. He was going to do a speech in the Scottish Parliament announcing his plans for the SNP and the Scottish Government over the next 3 years. But that's been derailed by a development this morning. Katie, what happened?
So the SNP Treasurer, Colin Beattie, has been arrested by police investigating the party's finances. He's been taken into custody. It's the story, I think, leading the BBC, most news outlets today. And he's being questioned by Police Scotland detectives. Now, this is part, I think, as we've spoken about previously on Coffee House Scots and, of course, covered on the website, this ongoing investigation into the funding and finances of the SNP. And it comes about a fortnight after Peter Morrell, the former SNP chief executive and, of course, Nicola Sturgeon's husband, was also arrested. Was not charged, it's worth pointing out, when he was arrested. But I think we're now in a situation where you look at this, you look at the luxury motorhome development recently, where that was seized from offices outside a property on the same morning that Morrell was arrested. And I think any sense that the SNP was turning the page, that Humza Yousaf had had this chance to, you know, set out his own agenda, clearly the baggage of the past is still there. And I think this has lots of ramifications. We've got to see where it goes. But I think particularly politically, Humza Yousaf, Nicola Sturgeon's preferred successor, I think it'd be fair to say, is now under pressure, I think, to, you know, take a stand. Is he going to suspend various people? What's going to happen?
And Stephen, picking up on what Katie was saying, today was meant to be Humza's reset day. Is he now just so tainted by his connections with what's gone before that he can't reset whatever he does?
You know, I just sort of hope for Humza Yousaf's sake that he kept the receipt for that monkey's paw, because it might have got him the leadership. But, I mean, my goodness, what an absolute mare of a time he has had since winning the leadership. Today's speech, Programme for Government speech, sort of functions like the King's speech does at Westminster. And it is the opportunity for the First Minister to stand up in Holyrood and set out their agenda. Now, what we know so far from the speech that Humza Yousaf will be giving is that themes are going to be equality, opportunity and community. There's going to be a lot of focus on, you know, issues of reducing poverty, strengthening public services, and obviously addressing some of those legacy problems, including the ones that were there when Humza Yousaf was Health Secretary, you know, with the NHS, but also in education, transport and other things. Now, this should be an opportunity for Humza Yousaf really to properly introduce himself in policy terms to the general public. He does certainly, you know, have, you know, name recognition. He's been a minister for a decade, but this really should be his opportunity to say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for. Problem is that tomorrow in tomorrow's newspapers and tonight on the news, this is going to be, his speech is probably going to come second to the fact that the treasurer of the SNP has been arrested. It is pretty difficult now for Humza Yousaf to sort of pull his leadership out of this, and I think not least because he was widely seen as the continuity candidate. In fact, he even accepted that label early on, although he flip-flopped and changed his mind about it. But, you know, he was generally seen as the candidate that the kind of the Sturgeon leadership, the hierarchy, the establishment of the party, they wanted him to be the successor, or at least they settled on him as the successor. And so it makes things, you know, much more difficult for him to essentially sort of distance himself from what is now very problematic. And of course, you know, it means that the opposition, you know, have this huge, huge goalposts and plentiful opportunities to score. And you're seeing that, particularly with Anas Sarwar, now in Scotland, the leader of Scottish Labour, who is going, you know, really hard on the SNP over this police investigation. And, you know, it's very difficult. Humza Yousaf has to respond to it with one hand tied behind his back, because there's only so much he can say. And this is also, obviously, This is about the old regime, and he is seen as the continuity candidate of that old regime.
And Katie, just on Labour, Keir Starmer's been spending more time in Scotland. Are they sensing an opportunity now?
Yes, I think we've got to the point now where things look so bad for the SNP that there are some Tories who are actually a bit worried in the sense, I think a dented SNP might lead the way to a small Labour resurgence. I think they thought Hamza Youssef on the Tory side was the type of character who would also be divisive enough that they would get the Scottish Tory vote out. But now I think if you look, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen yet. No one has been charged. But if you think about the ongoing investigation at the very least, imagine if this does end up in a court, you'll have a situation whereby this could, you know, drag on, you think about the time for, you know, a year, 2 years more. This is a backdrop that's going to be really difficult for the SNP, particularly because you have a leader who is not in a place and doesn't seem willing to particularly draw a line under it or do things you might need to distance yourself from the past. If you look at Hamza Youssef's comments on how he doesn't think Nicola Sturgeon should be suspended, which some in the party disagree with him on. So I think we're now in a situation where there are concerns, I think both amongst the SNP, but also interestingly amongst some Conservatives, that this could be leading to a big Scottish Labour resurgence, one that really helps Keir Starmer, which is why you can see, you know, comments he's made, spending more time there. Also just Anna Sawar currently, you know, touring, meeting lots of the Scottish Labour candidates. Quite a few have already been selected. Torkel Crichton, a former member of the lobby, former political journalist in his home seat in the Hebrides. You have Douglas Alexander already selected in East Lothian, which I think is like the key, or the, you know, one of the easiest basically target seats, and they have all this time, and therefore you could have a situation, you know, speaking to SNP figures in the past few days, where they think Scottish Labour could probably easily take 20 seats at the next election, which would really change the both the political landscape but also the electoral landscape in terms of the two main parties down here.
And finally, Stephen, going back to the investigation, in the SNP's accounts that are registered with the Electoral Commission, there are three named officers of the party. Two of those have now been arrested. The third is Nicola Sturgeon. Is she likely to be questioned?
Well, that is one of the great unknowns of this. The Police Scotland has obviously been playing this very carefully. Obviously the statement that went out today didn't name the treasurer of the SNP. It just said a 71-year-old man, although that has, you know, has been reported as being Colin Beattie. The question about Nicola Sturgeon, the honest answer is, we don't know. Nicola Sturgeon is not at Holyrood this week, we understand, and that was a statement that was put out just at the start of the week. She is, of course, I think she's been sort of, you know, questioned, doorstepped a number of times. We'll have to see how the investigation, you know, develops and continues. And it is, of course, worth saying here that no one has been charged with any offence. You know, Peter Murrow was questioned but was released without charge, and Colin Beattie is, I think, as we speak, being questioned. But as yet, no charges have been brought. So I think it's one of those things where journalists, we're very impatient for the next development, but I'm afraid we're just going to have to wait and then let the police do their job.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Katie. And thank you for listening. Now, just to remind listeners, Coffee House Shots is going to be hosting a live event, the Coronation Special. That'll be on Wednesday, the 10th of May at 6:30 p.m. in the Emmanuel Centre in London. And you can join the spectators Fraser Nelson, Katie Balls, and the Daily Telegraph's Camilla Tominey as they discuss what the historic coronation of King Charles III will mean for the United Kingdom. To get tickets, go to spectator.co.uk/coronation.